So I'm going to be honest, I'm exhausted. Maybe some of you feel this way too, but I'm exhausted and I'm just not sure I can handle another story on the news of violence. I'm overwhelmed every time I get on Facebook and some people tell me why Donald Trump is the worst person in the history of the world, and others are telling me why Hillary Clinton is the worst person in the history of the world. And I'm tired of media and news and whomever with all of these stories and posts of anger or hate, of violence and pain. And I find that more often than not, I just end up paralyzed, that I just want to hide under the covers and pretend it isn't happening, stop getting on the internet or not turning on the news or anything, and just ignoring all that's going on around me because I don't know what else to do. And I suspect that I'm probably not alone in that this morning. Yet when I find myself overwhelmed, stressed, uncertain, I keep returning to familiar words, to our scripture lesson for today, to some of my favorite verses in all of scripture. So we're going to turn today to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So as I've said already, this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And I think it's partially because I am type A. And I really like order and instructions. I like to have a plan. And this passage of scripture at least gives me a little bit of that. In staff meeting this week, we talked about how it's almost like a rubric in school. You know, for papers, you'd get a rubric on the things that they were looking for. And this passage is almost like a rubric for disciples. Except the problem with this rubric is that you're never actually going to get to check any of the boxes off because you're probably not going to always in every situation be able to do all of these things. Unless maybe you're evaluating on an hour by hour basis. But even still, it provides some kind of framework of how we are to act and to carry ourselves. And especially in situations like all that's going on right now, when I just feel paralyzed and overwhelmed, when I'm not sure what to do, these verses inform action. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. In the New Living Translation, which was the translation I read for the most part when I was in college, it says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Especially in college, this was almost like my mantra. I repeated these words to myself over and over and over again. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Because when you think about it, it's pretty easy to pretend to love other people, to exchange pleasantries and to be kind. I mean, my goodness, we live in the South, the land of big smiles and bless her heart. But But if we're actually talking about love, letting love be genuine, there seems to be more at stake in that. Paul says, let love be genuine. And then did you catch what follows in that same verse? He says, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Paul's making this clear connection between true love, genuine love, and hating evil. In our staff meeting this week, we spent a lot of time here talking about this verse, and people began reading things and pulling other stuff out, and I am not a Greek scholar, but some people know some Greek, and so they looked up this word for hate, and the word here is apastugeo, and this is the only time this word appears in the New Testament. Now, it's not the only time we see the English word hate, but there's another Greek word, meseo, that's used instead, and it's used 40 times in the New Testament. And almost always is also translated hate. But this word, apastugeo, is just used this one time. And it's a stronger word. In the KJV, it's translated abhor. And you see the definition here. It means to dislike, to abhor, to have a horror of. And we talked about in staff, if you have a horror of something, that's not just hating. That's like repulsing you. You want to get away from it. And like I said, I don't really know Greek, but I did a little bit of reading, and one of the roots in this word is to separate oneself. So this word really means to separate oneself from evil and hate, to separate, remove, to be horrified by evil. Paul is making it really clear for us the dichotomy between love and evil, and that we can't do both. This understanding informs the remaining verses when Paul says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless them and do not curse them. Or in verse 17, when he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Now, this is unnatural for us. When people wrong us, when they hurt us, when they do terrible things, or when they hurt someone that we love, our instinct, our natural response is for payback, for vengeance. We become tempted to use evil to try to overcome the evil or wrong that has been done. But if we do that, then we are not acting in love. Our love can't be genuine, because in order to love, you have to hate and abhor, be horrified by evil. Which is why Paul concludes these verses in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I stumbled across this truth in another form when I was reading something totally different this week, and perhaps some of you did too, if you, like me, were one of the millions of people who bought the new Harry Potter book this past week. I don't know if there are many Harry Potter fans in the crowd, but in case you aren't, I'm just going to give you like the broadest ever picture of Harry Potter, and that Harry Potter is a heroic story of good versus evil that spans across 7 books, and the main characters are all wizards. And so the hero, Harry Potter, who we're going to see here on the screen, he is kind of the hero in all this. He's the one in the middle with the glasses. This is obviously in their younger years. But Harry does everything that he does in this great battle of good versus evil and the struggle that goes out across the 7 books. He is dependent upon his 2 friends, Ron and Hermione, who are incredibly loyal, and they kind of take all of this on together as this trio. And so that's who you see up here. And so in the new book, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, it takes place, I believe, 19 years later, and it focuses predominantly on one of Harry's sons, Albus. Now, naturally, this is a story of good versus evil, and so there is a villain. And so what happens here in the story is that we have Harry, Ron, and Hermione, this trio, and also Albus, who catch her. And they have her, and she's kind of bound and trapped, and they're going to take her off to the wizard prison. And so this woman, she cries out, please just kill me instead. And Harry says, I can't do that. At which point Albus says, what? Dad, she's dangerous. And Harry looks at his son and he says, no, Albus. And his son replies, but she's a murderer. I've seen her murder. And Harry says, yes, Albus, she's a murderer, and we're not. At which point Hermione chimes in and says, we have to be better than them. And Ron says, yeah, it's annoying, but it's what we've learned. And as I hear this, I understand the sentiment that especially when really horrible things happen, we want vengeance, revenge. We want to feel like we can take justice in our own hands. And the difficult and often annoying thing about being people of faith is that we are people who believe that the only way to overcome evil is not with more evil, but with good. We're people who are called to love beyond our anger, our frustration, our hurt, our pain. It's the core of our faith. God overcame the evil of the cross, a method used to torture and kill people, one of the most painful ways to do so. God overcame darkness and oppression and death, not with a stronger weapon or a greater form of evil, but with good, with love. If you think about it, if we take a step back in the world and we look at the big picture, we know that it's true that evil never overcomes evil. There's all kind of data that shows that often, not always, but often school shootings include a gunman who was bullied in school. We know bullying is a form of evil, and it's a huge problem in our schools. Evil is not a form of love, but we also know that school shootings haven't ended bullying. They've just created more pain and heartbreak. Or if we look at the past few months and the media has bombarded us with stories both of black men being killed by police and then of police being killed by black men, and it feels like we're caught in this vicious cycle. And I'm not here to get into the particularities of any of these specific instances, but to say that when we look at the big picture, it's exhausting. It's chaotic. It's frightening. It's heartbreaking. And when it feels like what we see is evil repaying evil, that's how we feel. Fortunately, in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of darkness, we still see rays of hope, of people who are responding in love and not with evil. One of these examples is in Wichita, Kansas. This was a few weeks ago, and there was a scheduled protest, a Black Lives Matter protest, but instead, the protesters and the police force came together, and they decided to have a big community cookout. Maybe some of you heard about this. And so there was this big cookout. There's all kinds of food, and the people come together, and they're talking and interacting, and I'll just let you watch some of it for yourself.
Southern night was real peaceful as well. We're out here tonight. It's just a chance and an opportunity for us to go out and actually have some time. It's probably long overdue for us to get out in the community and be able to talk and just answer questions. A lot of people have questions from law enforcement, period. Just, you know, what to do on a traffic stop, what's all the gear that I wear on my belt. But it's calm out here. This is awesome.
The purpose of today's event is to try to ease the tension between, you know, the community and law enforcement. And this is Chief Gordon Ramsey. This is his way of stepping up to show us that, you know, we have his attention. You know, he wants to work with us instead of working against us.
For the community, getting together with the new police chief, a new fresh start, getting to know the community, getting to know the chief and some of the officers. And this can become a positive annual event. I would like to see that. Food is good. Atmosphere is good. The weather is great. Come on out, everybody. Well, I see the concerned citizens of Wichita meeting the police officers and the chiefs. And everybody's giving their opinion and trying to just get along, you know, and try to, you know, close that racial divide, you know, and have some understanding, you know, of each other. You know, this thing can work. You know, we got to make it work here in Wichita. We live here. This is all our homes.
In the video, you saw all kinds of people. You saw old and young. You saw people of all different backgrounds and races. And it looked like they were having a lot of fun. You saw food and laughter. And there's other videos of how apparently there was a rather large dance party that took place at this cookout. We see our people who, in spite of their possible, legitimate, real fears, anger, frustration, hurt. You see people moving beyond those things, loving beyond their angers, their fears, their hurts, their prejudices. As they seek to be in relationship with one another, to get to know one another. Paul tells us that we should seek to live in harmony with one another. Did you hear what the man at the end said? He said, we got to make this work here in Wichita. We live here. This is all of our homes. And I think what this man recognizes, I think part of what Paul is getting at is that when we either love genuinely or when we repay evil with evil, it doesn't just impact us. It has a ripple effect on the people and communities around us. Now, sometimes it might make bigger waves than others. But there's always an impact, and we're all in this together. And so I want you to imagine with me for a minute, what might it look like if all of us here, if a big group of us pledged that we were not going to post anything negative on any kind of social media, that we weren't going to post anything that wasn't positive about the people or the issues that we care about, nothing negative. Imagine how that would change the conversation in this heated political time if we were only speaking in positives about one another. Imagine the impact if you were to bring cookies to that coworker who gets under your skin, who you maybe even dislike. How would that impact your work environment? If you started exchanging smiles and asking about the family, the life of that person whom everyone knows you have tension with, what would the impact be if you just spent one day where you woke up and you were committed to outdoing one another and showing honor and respect to everyone that you encountered? Imagine the impact if a large group of people made a commitment to love our enemies. When they're hungry, to feed them. When they're thirsty, to give them something to drink, to pray for them. Now, none of these things are easy. I'm not going to pretend that they are. But imagine the impact if we try, the ways that we will be transformed, the ways that the people and world around us might be transformed. If we're able to love beyond our own sinful, broken selves. I imagine that there will be more cookouts and fewer shootings. I imagine that it might be a place where by some acting in love that others respond in kind. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Will you stand with us?